Armored Bear Productions.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Out of Character, the Not Safe for Wizards Q&A talk show. Hey everyone, welcome to Out of Character. I'm Gary, your host, and on tonight's episode, I will be talking with Kayla. Hey, Kayla.
Hello.
And tonight we're talking about the episode, A New Direction. And we're going to talk a little bit about the lead-in to New Direction, I think, because that's where I think I'm going to start with us. Well, first off, Kayla, how have you been?
I'm good.
You sound like how I feel. One of those long days.
It's been a long couple of years.
Well, I think most of the country, world, galaxy can say that.
Yeah, there's this perpetual state of exhaustion now. You know, like I've lost track of between like the full time job, the side hustles, and the shows. I have no idea how many things I'm doing at any given time, but it's always more than one.
I like to make lists and check things off. It gets great satisfaction from checking something off a list.
You're funny.
I'm serious. Even if it's something as small as eating toast, put that on your list.
Yeah, some people do really good with lists. Me, not so much. I actually, you know what I've been doing lately, honestly, to be totally, totally honest, is I've kind of gotten to the point in my, like, ADHD delirium that I'm kind of just following the serotonin. I'm just, what do I feel like doing? Okay, I'll do that. You know, unless there's, like, a major deadline or somewhere I need to be in any given situation, I just do what works in that particular moment, and it's serving me well for now. I know I can't live like that forever, but
do what feels right.
Exactly. Just kind of, you know, living as much as I can possibly live, seeing my partners when I can see my partners, and you know.
Well, it's so hard to live in this world right now. I gotta say, especially with the way Florida is going, but let's not talk COVID.
No. We have much more interesting things to talk about.
Do we? Well, maybe.
I mean, relatively, maybe. I don't know your life. I mean.
Okay, well, let's get to the episodes and whatnot. On this episode, we went to Stonecast. Yes. Yours and or Jade and Chase's hometown. Hometown heroes returning back, and what led us to this, which I didn't really get to talk to you about though, was we had run into a lore keeper at the Temple of Ibarra. I think that's where it was.
I think originally at the palace and then at the temple.
Right First at the elf palace,
right,
and then at the Temple of Ibarra. Oh, man, I can't remember her name. Oh, well, whatever her name is that we ran into.
That chick.
But, you know, she got to fill in a little bit of your backstory with your parents being lore keepers, right?
Yeah.
Something that you didn't really know up until that point. I'm kind of curious, was this something that you built in? I think I asked Joe this last week, actually, whether you built it or whether he just added it in, and I can't remember what he said.
No, he threw this at me. I gave him a basic backstory. I gave him the, you know, kind of the Luke Skywalker scenario with her, and just kind of said, okay, run with it. And everything else from there on out, he's pretty much just kind of thrown at me, and I've, you know, caught it and ran with it. as much as I can. And yeah, the Lorekeeper thing was totally just, it was a surprise. And it worked out really nice that way. It was really easy to kind of really genuinely get into that moment of finding out something about my parents.
Well, it definitely sounded like real surprise. It's like, oh, they were, you know, part of the secret cult society hero group. I don't know which one to call it.
I mean, you know, it's kind of, it's very like Order of the Phoenix. Like you find out that your parents aren't just your parents, that they're, you know, also badasses.
You know, most of the members of the Order of the Phoenix died.
So did my parents. So
that is a good point. Now, you did build the whole, well, me and Joe talked about this last week, so this is how I know this one for sure. You wanted to have the dart gun, and making it a flute or part of the flute case. I can't remember which one it is. What was your idea, right?
Yes. The dart gun flute combo, was my creation. I'm a flute player IRL. And I always kind of have had that fantasy of, like, you know, sitting there playing a flute and being able to convert it into a little dart gun, because I've always been a twisted child.
Well, it's like having a sword cane.
Yeah, basically. You know, it's the hobbit halfling version of that. So it was just, yeah, it was just something that I've always wanted to do and play with, so I thought this was a really good opportunity to do that. And I happened to, when I was flipping through, when I was creating Jade, and I was looking through equipment and stuff, I saw the flute and I was just like, ooh, that's something fun. And it gives her a very natural, simple, easily concealed ranged weapon.
That is true. Like, you could pretend to be a, you know, traveling musician, bard, I guess. Maybe not a bard quite, but, you know, just a minstrel or something like that, and always have your weapon on you.
You know, cute little halfling girl sitting in the corner playing the flute, you know, mm-hmm. completely inconspicuous.
With paralyzation, you know, darts.
Right. You know, one move later and she can take somebody out from across the room and go back to playing a flute and nobody notices.
I think, you know, if you have your crowbar on you, though, it would be a little bit hard to hide.
Well, you know, this original concept was created level one when she didn't have any other weapons.
Which we don't talk about but very much, but I think we're now level 7 or 8, something like that. So definitely progressed through this adventure. Actually, that's something I think is interesting. We never talk about what new abilities we gain, except for Greg likes to talk about, you know, oh, I just got this and wants to use it right away.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a technical player. As much as I am a DM and all of those things that I've been playing for a long time, I'm not a technical player in that I don't think about advancement in the terms of this new feat or this new weapon or, you know, this new feature, whatever it is. Yeah, those are things that come with leveling up. But when I talk about Jade's advancement, I tend to talk and think more about her character development and how maybe these things that she's gotten, you know, these new tricks and expertises and feats and weapons and whatever, as part of her personal development, rather than, oh, I have this new feat, I want to try it out. It just my brain just works differently that way.
I think some people definitely work that way, and some people work, as you said, the more rules lawyer technical aspects of the game. I know I'm one of the more rules lawyer technical people.
I wish I was more character.
But I do wish that, like, I could drive my character more. I feel like I'm still trying to. I think I've talked about this every week now. I'm still trying to find that path for Vel. What's his great quest? To some degree, it's definitely to get rid of the Mind Flayers, since they directly attack the Elf Kingdom. I think that's where I'm going with it, more than anything else. But still, to get like personality perks and stuff like that would be nice.
You know, I think that you're developing more than you realize.
I'm definitely the sourpuss of the group.
A little bit, but that's not, I don't know if that's really my impression of Fel so much. Yeah, he's a little bit more serious, or at least he was when he first joined the party. And a little kind of facepalming having to deal with this ridiculous group of misfits.
That can't stop eating.
That,
God help us.
Eating, drinking, and taking baths.
I thought about this 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, you know what? That's really the character that I've developed, is this, you know, almost wants to do things by the book, even though he doesn't have a book to follow. But it's like, you know, there's a proper way to adventure.
Yeah, I can see that there's a bit of that. He's very much home and country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and he is in service to his country, and he's very serious about that service. And we need a straight man. Like, we're all a bunch of goofballs. We need a straight man, so it's good. You know, you bring a bit of balance to the force, so to speak, with us. And I mean, you know, Mark can be that straight man sometimes too. But yeah, you bring a balance, and you bring a sense of urgency. I think that you keep us on track.
I try a lot. To. Although I will say, coming out of the Grimsby, other than like going on this little side quest, I had no direction as to where we were going to go. You know, and now, you know, we went on this side quest to Stonecast. I'm like, okay, well, let this Stonecast thing happen. And then what are we going to do when we, you know, get back? How do you find leads on, you know, secret societies and mind flayers?
Apparently not easily.
Right, exactly. So it's interesting, though, that during this this trek that we're on in Stonecast, we meet Grendel? Grendel? Grendel was from something else. Totally.
That's completely a different story.
Garandar. Sorry. Garandar.
Uncle Garandar.
Uncle Garandar. Because, you know, you went home again. Some people remember you. A few people remembered you in this episode. Not only Garandar, but the barkeep remembered you.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was really surprised that many people... But, I mean, I guess it stands to reason, you know, when Jade left home, she was still very young, very naive, didn't know much outside of the world of the farm, definitely did not know that her parents were lore keepers, so she really had no idea how well-known her parents were.
What if the bartender is there actually just a spy on Garandar?
Then I'm going to have to kill him, and it's going to be brutal.
He just seemed way too interested in you and your family, you know?
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I kind of, like, got lulled into this sense of, like, everybody knows me, it's homey and cozy.
Give me a fruity drink.
Right, exactly. Like, I was just, like, feeling it. And I hadn't even really thought about the possibility of spies or someone that didn't have, you know, Jade and company's best interest at heart in her hometown.
I mean, I've been kind of thinking through this, and, like, okay, we're a week away from the keep, Farenthal Keep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at Farenthal Keep, we've come to find the warlord is there and a bunch of war makers are there, right? That's what Garandar's telling us.
That's what we've been told.
You know, if Stonecast is the closest city, wouldn't you think that they would have, you know, some contacts or spies in the city or town or whatever Stonecast is?
Yeah, honestly, I hadn't even thought about it, but yeah, it stands to reason that, you know, they would have, you know, people watching in outlying cities.
I say first chance we get, we need to go back there and kill everybody.
Well, okay, not everybody.
Well, I mean,
it's still my hometown, you know, and it's still Chase's home.
Right. Yeah.
As well, you know,
he got to punch Booker.
Yeah.
For things that weren't Booker's fault, as far as everyone was concerned. he got the design book, which was the whole entire reason why we went to Stonecast, right? Got to see Chase's child at home. And Chase gave you a gun.
Yeah. I'm still a little speechless about that one. I mean, like, I knew what direction we had talked about, you know, possibly going, and I knew the impact that Jade getting to fire Chase's gun had had on her. I did not expect the gift of the Derringer. It actually made me tear up. Like, it hit me. Really, that was a moment. Mark and I have been friends a very long time, probably more years than either of us would care to mention, and we've been through a lot. So there's already a connection between him and I as friends, and then, you know, something like that in character was just, it was a lot. It blindsided me completely. I did not expect that kind of emotion.
I knowing Mark as long as I have known him, which
you have known him as well a long time as well, yes.
Not as well as you know him, but you know, because most of the time actually we spent away from each other. But Mark is just that good-hearted, fun, you know, person that you know picks up on those types of connections, which is great.
Yeah.
I missed like a great moment. As Vel, I really wanted to say it. I don't know why it didn't come out or whether I just couldn't get it in. But I kind of wanted to say, like, oh, no, you're giving her one permanently? You know, something along that line. Just because.
What to Jade?
What are you thinking? Are you all nuts? Oh, wait, you are all nuts.
Yeah. We were all together, I believe. Yeah, we were all together when he gave her the gun. And there was definitely an image in my head of the facial expressions of the rest of the party. You know, kind of that range between shock and, oh shit, what have you done?
I'm sure most of the rest of the party's like, yay, the assassin gets a gun. As if you weren't, you know, enough damage in one shot. I love thieves for this reason. Rogues. Sorry. I call halflings hobbits, rogues thieves.
I speak Gary, it's okay.
Druids or nature freaks, whatever.
It's all good. It's fine. Everything's fine.
But yeah. I think most people were very happy. You know, I was actually, me personally, I was very happy with the whole situation. I'm like, yay, the rogue has a gun.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a sense of I think everybody felt the emotion of the scene.
Hmm.
You know, everybody understood that this was something special, you know, for Jade and Chase, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, and I appreciate it. I, in re-listening to the episode, I realized that one, my mic was really hot for that episode.
It.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I talked to Joe about it and he was like, yeah, sometimes your mic just comes in hotter than everybody else's and he tries to balance it out, but sometimes it's just hard to. So I felt like I was a bit of an episode hog and I felt bad about that. But there was just a lot of, like, you know, exposition to go, Jason, you know, Jace. That's okay. I'm shipping them now. Jason, Jace. Jace. It's
you were in Jace's hometown, so.
Yes, exactly. I hate it when that happens. I used to do that to my son. His His girlfriend's name is Zoe, so it's Jeremy and Zoe. And I would try to say, like, Jeremy and Zoe, and it would come up Joey.
Joey.
And they'd get really mad at me. But
I don't see why.
It was these cute. Days.
I feel like I'm finally old enough to be able to say kids these days.
Yes, yes. We are old enough to say that now, which is just a very strange thing in and of itself. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, Derringer. That was really special. That was really, really cool and a neat moment. And I'm glad that everyone was there to share it.
Same here. So let's see. What else happened in this episode? We talked about Chase meeting his dad's old deputy, going along to the house. There was a kind of interesting message in Chase's dad's drawer. Message from Alcos, right?
Something like that. Sorry, again. It's life is trying to kill me.
I did the same thing just now. It was kind of funny.
That's funny. Yeah. There was some really heartfelt stuff there.
Well, more cryptic messages of warnings of people that we don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get down to some of these mysteries and solve some of them. I'm hoping that Farenthal Keep can provide us with some. At least it gave us an arc to go down. Of course, like the War Maker and the Warlord are got to be the most important thing right now, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Joe's playing the long game with this whole War Maker thing.
I think we just need to wrap it up, kill everybody, and then move on.
It's interesting because Joe is not a spoon feeder by any means, and he's let us flounder a few times. You know, and there were times when I would get really annoyed by it and I'd be like, what is going, just fucking point me. I'd just take the little halfling assassin and point her in the right direction and let her kill stuff. But it's also, I think, part of what makes this story interesting and what makes us keep coming back to this story is that everything is not cut and dry.
Well, and no, I agree, especially since, like, I think a couple episodes ago, I tied in the War Makers with the Mind Flayers trying to open up a dimensional door to let the Lord of the Death, I think is what it was, the one guy, you know, through.
Vixus?
Not Vixus. The guy that Lilith keeps on having dreams about. Prince of the Dead, maybe? Prince of the Undead?
Oh.
Or Lord of the Undead? I can't remember what his name was. But you know, I think everything's tying in together. We just have to put the pieces together.
We haven't had the Marisha Ray Eureka moment yet of putting all the pieces and clues together and going, oh my god, what this is.
I kind of want to make a murder board of everything, you know.
Seriously, can we do that digitally? Because like, my memory is not great to begin with. Like, and I'm being very generous by saying not great. So,
I'll get to work on it next week. We'll see how long it takes me.
There we go.
For those of you that don't know me very well, I procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate. So. Next week, we'll get right on it.
Yay, executive dysfunction! That would actually be really cool if we had some way, even if like we all did it together as like a shared document or something where we could make a murder board. Mm. You know, red yarn and everything. Would be fun. And be cool to share with our audience.
Do it with lines of blood. Since it's digital, you don't have to use yarn. You can use whatever you want, right?
Sure. You call those red lines, whatever you want to call them, as long as I don't have to cut my palm open, we're good.
What about your digital palm?
Oh, wow. Do I value my digital palm?
I don't know where I was going with that. Okay.
I don't either. I'm watching the spider crawl across my window.
Okay, so what else happened in this episode? Oh, right. The great horse purchasing saga.
Oh, Jesus fuck.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Okay. I apologize to our audience for getting my head so far up my ass about horses that it took half an episode to fucking figure out what horses we want that we're going to just ditch in two episodes anyway, probably.
You know, let's see. Where have all the places we've left? I haven't left any equipment anywhere yet. Can you hear me?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, I got a disconnect notice come up across my screen. So I thought, let's see. I know you left a set of horses inside the Elf Kingdom because you left them with the Wolf Riders, right? I think the town where we abandoned Pete's character, I'm having a really hard time with names today.
That's okay.
Orion.
Yeah.
Definitely abandoned some horses inside that town. Teleported out of there.
Where's the cart?
I have no idea. I think that's where it is, actually.
The cart is with Orion.
Or was it, like, on the way there with the skeletons and all that, where it got abandoned?
No, we kept the cart. I remember putting it in a stable.
Okay.
With horses. Because I painted that cart, and I don't know where it is.
It must be with Orion, then, because that's the only thing I could think of.
It's probably with Orion.
Poor Orion. You have another set of horses in Grimsby.
We just have a set wherever we go.
So, like, I did abandon one horse because my character came with a war horse that I did not take with us because we teleported out of Leonore.
Right. Teleportation thing.
It's the helm of teleportation that does us in.
Yep.
Because we keep on picking up supplies and horses and stuff like that. So that way we can go from one place to another if we don't know, you know, if Lilith doesn't have a familiarity with it. And then once we get there, we realize, oh, we can teleport to the next location. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, this whole horse thing, it just, I don't know. I feel like somewhere in there was like some weird battle of egos and like who knows more about horses, and I don't know why that. I don't know. I re listened to the episode and I was just like, what are we doing?
I gotta say, I knew nothing of what you were talking about because I know nothing about horses.
I used to know a lot more. My family had a horse ranch, so that's like my credentials on that. It so doesn't matter. But you know what I think it was? Honestly, if I'm honest, I think that I was trying to make this an experience and a connection that would make it so that we did not ditch the horses again. Fail.
They're just horses.
They're just horses.
But, I mean, if you think about it, like, it very well played into the Jade character of, ooh, I see animals. Let me play with them.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. She just couldn't help herself. And she got the...
Oh, go ahead.
She got the opportunity to pick out horses for her friends.
Yes, which I don't think any of us will remember the description of what our horses are.
Nope.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. D will, because, you know, she's all about the details.
Yeah, no, Celeste's attention to detail and D's kind of... I mean, D remembers stuff that, like, I... No clue. So, yeah, D will probably remember everything, and all of us will just be completely... I mean, like I said, it's probably going to be, like, what, 2-3 episodes, and we ditch them again? So, I think that's also why I was like, hey, can we bring these horses back to you?
Chance to get the money back. I actually brought this up, I think, two episodes ago, that, like, we all have so much money that we can go buy horses in every town we get into and probably be all right at this point. And like, I was playing a character who's like sworn to poverty, specifically, like, didn't take any special equipment or anything like that. I wanted to make it as plain as possible. And we just keep on getting money in these adventures. I think at some point I just need to donate it all to the homeless or poor or something like that in some town we find.
Yeah, or wait till we figure this shit out and you go back home. And then when you go back home, you can come back with, all this money and stuff and then donate it to whatever organization in the Elven City. Donate it to the Coalition Against Discrimination of Other Races Besides Elves.
I do not believe that society exists in Illinois. The Elven people are quite happy with being xenophobic.
Yeah.
You know what? I've actually tried to play a little bit into that here and there.
Oh, yeah?
But haven't done a great job at it. I'm still working on it.
It's a tough thing to play when it is so outside your own personal character.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I want to take the same stance I take in out of character of looking at everything sideways. Just be like, everybody's out to get us. But I have such a hard time doing that because I don't think anybody's. That's what I want Joe to do. I want Joe to start like attacking us from within.
He's getting constantly double crossed.
Yes. Think of the character arc that we can portray off of that. If every person that we think is trying to help us eventually double crosses us and where we just start getting this, grunge to us that the spitefulness to the world.
See, that's how you create a tiny rage monster.
I think Jade already is a tiny rage monster that just with a cute veneer on top.
Maybe, but that will make the veneer go away and you will end up with some fucking mirror, alternate universe, evil, badass Jade, like, with a scar over her eye. Just like, that's how that's gonna happen. She's already struggling with being disillusioned. She's already struggling with her faith. She's already struggling with this whole notion that, the world is inherently good. And now you're gonna do that to her. You will break Jade.
Well, I had a thought that should simmer into Jade's mind. Her parents lied to her for her entire life.
I think she gets that.
Oh, come on.
I think it's something that she understands her parents were protecting her. I don't think it's a spiteful thing for her at all. I think she, I think she wishes she would have known, but I think that she understands that her parents were protecting her. Because like I said, when she left home, she was very young. She was very naive and really, like, I don't think if I, as a parent myself, looking at how Jade was when, level one, when she first started out, I wouldn't have told my kid, that I was into that.
But they didn't even trust her enough to, give her a hint as to what was going on.
They did. They did give her a hint. Yeah. Oh. She had her flute.
Oh, I don't know if that's a hint.
Her father gave her that flute.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that was the start.
I still feel like this should have some like boiling and some hatred towards the parents. Come on, daddy issues. I don't know.
Jade has other issues without having daddy issues.
That is a good point. I'm just trying to stir the pot of everybody's character. And actually, Celeste is very untrusting already. So
Yes.
If every ally starts trying to kill her, that could be very interesting.
It would be. I think she would kind of be like, I expected this, or this is typical or whatever of humans, because Celeste basically thinks humans, or not humans, but creatures, bipedal sentient creatures suck. You know, yeah, Jade. And that's something that Jade is actually, like, really actively trying to work on with Celeste, is getting Celeste to trust.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if Celeste went, like, full demon child and, you know, threw off the druid ways, did a great pact with the, you know, as a sorcerer or something like that, and just went completely the other direction?
That would be crazy. That would be really interesting to see D play that.
Right.
I think D could do it. I think D could pull it off.
I do too.
And they would be very, very good at it.
It would be like the paladin, anti-paladin snap.
Right. Right. And again, I think would devastate Jade. Jade is so Twitter-pated with Celeste.
You know, everybody loves Jade.
Aw.
Well, just look at it, right? Lilith, Chase, Celeste, Lotus, everybody loves that. Jade.
Well, Jade loves everybody. Like, she sees you guys as, you know, and even Vel, like, she sees you guys as her family. Like, she came from thinking she had nothing and nothing left. Her parents were her life, her whole world. You know, to finding these people that are put, like, I mean, practically daily put their lives on the line for each other.
But we need to break Jade of her naivete of liking Vel. You know, Vel's not supposed to be a likable character.
Too bad.
I'm just gonna have to keep on giving you bad looks whenever you order breakfast.
Jade, there's a little bit of from Monsters, Inc. There's a little bit of Boo in Jade.
Even has the voice.
yeah. I definitely took some inspiration from that. And Boo's kind of like, until she was confronted with abject terror, she loved everybody. You know, and I kind of used that as a foundation for Jade and her, you know, that little naive streak is that she really hasn't seen, like, the true evil in the world. She's starting to, you know, as she goes through this campaign and this thing with the Warmakers and, you know, all of the stuff that's happened, it is breaking her down. Don't think that she is anywhere near as naive as she used to be. She puts up a good front. You know, and she's still kind of trying to be that on the outside, but she is nowhere near as naive as she used to be. She's questioning a lot, and she's her darkness. She is finding her darkness.
Her darkness is still very, very cute, tame.
Well, I mean, you know.
Like
rawr, I'm a monster, you know, like she's
it's like first time Vel met Jade, you know, she's sternly pacing behind his back. You see, at that point Jade did not trust Vel. She had good instincts.
Right, yeah, right off the bat she wasn't quite sure about Vel, especially because, like, we're in this city where, like, the whole concept of xenophobia and discrimination to Jade was such a foreign thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's already dealing with, you know, we're after these Warmakers and we're dealing with these Mind Flayers and we're dealing with this weird city and all of this stuff. And then, like, people don't like me. What? How? She just wrapping her fuzzy little brain around that concept. Well, you know?
Also on that episode, I think I hunted you guys down and just showed up at your tavern to have a discussion about what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That was basically a, you know, who are you?
So I want Jade to have that type of suspicion with everybody. Just need some major bad events to happen in her life other than, you know, her parents dying.
Give her some time. She's getting there with everything that's been thrown at us and the floundering that we've been doing for the past little bit, not quite knowing where to go and things feeling like we're just getting tossed back and forth, you know, with no real direction and no real advancement in the, you know, the central plot, it's been tough to kind of, how do I put it? It's been tough to advance the character one way or the other.
Yeah. And that's part of it. Like, it's only been a few weeks since Val met up with the group, and a few months since everybody was doing supply runs.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of Stonecast, of all places.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's weird. She's mourning the loss of Orion, even though, like, he didn't die or anything. He's just, you know, decided to stay back. He is. You shut your mouth. Orion's not dead.
That could be the catalyst.
Oh my god, you want to see Chade go nuts? I mean, she's lost Orion. Chase, you know, is like doing all of these really sweet things. And she's getting close to Chase now. She's, you know, Twitterpated with Celeste. She's got this incredible sisterly bond with Lilith. You know, there's so much going on. You take away one of those things and you're taking away a pillar for her.
Just everything comes crashing down as we find that we left Orion to his death in whatever that town was.
You know, that would be bad. That would be... to be really, really bad.
Not this episode, but the episode before, we did hear that Orion, as of last word, was still alive.
We did.
And fighting the undead, and doing great, great heroic things, as the companions always do.
Yeah, I have no doubt that we are going to eventually catch back up with Orion, and he is going to be like the hero of the town, and there's going to be statues, and they're going to be singing about him in taverns.
Well, my flip comment was, other than, you know, Orion's dead, which I always like to throw out there, but the other side is that he's either, you know, become mayor, king of this town, and is rising up his own regime to fight and take over lands, because, you know, we need another kingdom. Or he's a lich, you know? He snaps and decides to go full lich.
Wow. Those are some pretty extreme choices. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, what would Pete do?
Well, I'm actually saying, what would Orion do? Because Orion was a pretty extreme character.
He was. More like, what direction would Pete take Orion in?
I have no idea.
And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because, you know, Pete is, as far as being a role player is concerned, Pete is incredible. And you can give him just about any direction and he will run with it. You know?
I have to say, like, whatever direction you expect, it's probably a different direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One day we'll get Pete back and we'll find out the tales of Orion and what state he's in. Until then, I like to speculate. It's my hobby.
I know it is. I know it is. You like to break Jade's heart is what you like to do.
I need to go back and figure out, first off, what my character's actual name was and how we wrote him off and... then make up stories about what happened to her.
Denna?
Yeah, Denna. That's what it was. Denna.
How did we write off Denna? I don't even remember. She just
I have no
decided
idea.
To stay at home or some shit. I don't remember now.
I bet it was just wasn't there for a few weeks in a row and wasn't there anymore after that, maybe.
Probably. Probably. I don't know. I think there was, I think Joe did some little, like, you know, Denna decided to go home or something simple like that.
I left quite abruptly, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I had to move fast. What can I say? So, wrapping up the episode, we've gone to Stonecast. We've overdone Stonecast. we've overdone Stonecast Forces, and we're all now deputies of Stonecast.
Yeah. So
one more title to add to the list. Crown Companions, deputies of Stonecast. I'm sure the elves will give us all a title at some point. And the dwarves, we are friends to friends to half-orcs. Orcs. Yes. Yes. Whatever they were.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're just racking up points wherever we go.
Eventually, you're going to have such a reputation that it's just going to be accepted everywhere. But maybe that's not a good thing.
Hey, yeah. I can see where we would screw it up somehow.
Like burning down a inn full of people just because didn't want to deal with the situation?
No, that's only if we leave Lilith unsupervised.
You know, Lilith's been very held back, I feel. Very, very restrained in her actions of late.
It's just let Lilith wreak havoc.
She's not the murder hobo that I know and love. I miss Lilith the murder hobo.
Oh God. And poor Lilith. All she wants to do is just beat stuff up, and she's stuck with politics and trying to be good.
I'd like to see more of what happened with her past pirate crew myself.
Yeah, I'm really waiting. I think that's why I'm like kind of chomping at the bit about like figuring out this Warmaker thing and moving on, is because I want to see the other characters' backstories. You know, like, I don't want the whole campaign's overarching plot to only be Jaden Chase's story. Like, it's great, and I'm having fun, and this is cool, and when we finally do kick these fuckers' asses, it's gonna be amazing. But yeah, I want to lift the curse on Lotus's village. I want to find out about Lotus's past and you know, find out that the ghost pirates are real. And, you know, like, I want to get into these other really cool backstories.
So, just because I mentioned Steve and you know, the crew, I think I've ragged on Greg a few times for naming his partner, Steve. Lilith's partner, Steve. But I pulled a total one this episode in naming my horse horse.
Good name your horse horse, fucker.
I just couldn't think of a name.
Couldn't even like ask one of us, just, you know, I'm gonna name him horse.
I think at that point I was like, we just spent 30 minutes buying a horse. Horse.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That is entirely fair. We spent way too much time screwing around. I think Joe even cut some of it out. Hoping he did.
I did not notice that.
Because it was just dumb. I even said at one point, why are we doing this? This is dumb. Can we just buy horses? I don't know what happened.
At least we can call ourselves out for when we go off track a little bit too far. Because a lot of the fun stuff that we go off track for is fun. No matter how much I like to make Vel the party pooper when it comes to meals, the meals are always a fun experience. Just recently, you know, you shoving a pastry underneath Chase's door to give it to him, I thought was great comedy.
thank you. That was super fun. I was enjoying that whole moment. And I think you're right. I think some of the most fun stuff is in those silly moments.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Well, actually, that's what I said. So, of course, I agree. You know, anytime you don't know what to say, you just nod and say yes, right?
Yes.
I definitely had one of those moments just now.
I have no idea what's going on. Smile and nod.
Smile and nod.
That's half my life. Like, I had a woman in my shop yesterday, I want to say. Yesterday, day before, something like that. No, it had been yesterday because today's Wednesday. And she walks in without a mask. And I know her. She's one of the hairdressers from like down the way, right? And I was like, hey, hon, can you put on a mask for me, please? And she's like, I don't have one. And I have a few extras in the shop, like just, you know, disposable ones. And I was like, and I had one left. And I was like, here, I have one left. And she just looked at me and went, I'm not putting that on. And I was so, just blindsided. And I shouldn't be, because I deal with this shit all the time. But like, I guess because I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just sat there and like blinked at her. Like, I couldn't say anything.
I gotta say, for business owners, I don't know if I, when I had my business, if like regulating on that level would have been a doable task for me.
It's tough. It's super tough.
There's just so much anxiety in people's and how people see it, and you know, such a simple thing, in my opinion, you know, as putting on a mask and, you know, just trying to help people feel safer.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we have young children in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, I'm super careful. And, I mean, like, one of my other partners owns a business, you know, owns a retail business. And, you know, I see them, they have a different policy. They have kind of, like, a, we would prefer that you wear a mask. And our employees are going to wear masks, but we're not going to necessarily enforce it. And, like, everybody has to do things differently. You know, point is that there are moments in life when you just either smile and nod or just sit there and blink at someone until something happens because your brain short circuits over something dumb like what the hell to name your horse that we just spent half an hour buying that we're going to ditch in the next town. So.
I actually think I had perfected the smile and nod from back when I owned my shop, because I would have people come up to me and you know, want to talk certain things with me, things that I had no interest in talking about at the time. Uh-huh. But they were so into it. You know, it was gaming stuff, of course.
Right.
But, you know, they saw the latest article or they heard about a release of a product. And I'm like, at some points, you know, you're just over it.
Yep. Yep.
But you just smile and nod.
You smile and nod. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is about being a shop owner, and you've been in this position too, so you get it. But there's something that happens when you own a small business, a small retail shop, no matter what the focus of the business is, where sometimes people just kind of treat you like a bartender.
Yep. Definitely.
You know, if I'm not busy. You know, and they're cool, and they're chatting about, you know, cool stuff or whatever. I'll sit and talk for a bit, you know. But eventually you kind of look around and go, so this place, I own it, and I've got shit to do.
And just a disclaimer on this to all the customers out there who listen. If any customers out there listen, we love you. We love our customers.
We do. We absolutely do. We absolutely do. I love every one of my customers, even the ones that make me crazy, you know, even the ones that you know, want to talk when I don't want to talk and all of those things. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, just like our listeners, you know, we would be nowhere without our listeners. We'd be nowhere without our customers. You know, it's a big circle. It makes the world go round. You know, all of that jazz. You know, but you know, we're going to talk shit every once in a while. Doesn't mean we don't love you.
It's been one of those weeks, folks. I don't have anything more for going over this episode. But I want to thank you for coming on. Yeah. I think we've beaten the dead horse on this one.
You sure. What are you going to name that dead horse, Gary? What are you going to name the dead horse? Name the horse.
Zombie.
Zombie. Okay. We have horse and zombie.
Horse and zombie. Yeah, my next horse will have to be named Zombie. I think that's
there
what it comes down to.
There we go. You have said it. Now it must be done.
I hope it's an undead horse, not a dead horse or a live horse. I want it to be an undead horse. That way I can name it Zombie. You hear that, Joe? You got to give me an undead horse now.
How do you tame an undead horse?
brains?
That sounds like a joke. And I don't know the answer to it.
Instead of carrots and sugar cubes, you keep brains on hand.
Well, I mean, you know, we kill enough people.
Not lately, we haven't.
This is true. That's the whole problem.
We need to kill more people.
We've been all touchy-feely. We need to kill stuff.
You know, I think I mentioned that at the beginning, that, you know, Lilith's just not murder hoboing enough.
Yeah. He's just like, give Lilith a, you know, like we did that, you know, we did that once, didn't we?
Every now and then, yeah, we
have to like take Lilith to a tournament or something so that she can blow off steam. We may have to do that again soon.
Or just head back to the town with all the zombies.
True.
One of these days.
Well, because that's when we're gonna have to go back there, because eventually we're gonna have to go pick up Orion.
One day. We're gonna have to go pick up Orion's corpse.
I knew you didn't
like that.
No. No party members are allowed to die ever. I didn't know. Like I said, you wanna see Jade flip her shit? You see how much she panicked when, you know, things go wrong right now.
I really do want to see Jade flip her shit. That's the thing. That's why we have to kill somebody off. If not Orion, I mean, next up is Lilith, I guess, right?
Yeah, No. Because there's only so much blood you can get on a halfling.
Well, I mean, that's why Jade takes the baths. Anyways.
Yes.
Thank you very much for tonight. This was fun to go over things and get some rest. And all the loves. I was gonna say get some rest and keep positive thoughts. Yeah. But I don't know what happened there. And to everybody out there, stay safe. Protect each other. And keep those conspiracies coming.
Hey, thanks for listening to Out of Character. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you listen to. And if you'd like to be part of the show and ask a question, you can do so on Twitter using the hashtag NSFWOOC. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later.